Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
We're back for another fresh edition of Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, live from the Auto Farm Studios. Been a busy week, and today is going to be another busy show. Have a lot of topics I want to get into. This is the best time of the year. It's the easiest time of the year for me. I guess the hardest part of hosting a daily sports talk show at this stage in the game is kind of picking and choosing what topics you want to get into. I mean, it's high school football Friday, and tonight, right here on KOAL, we have the Emory Spartans taking on the Union Cougars. Homecoming for Emory High School tonight. Final two games of the regular season. Emory has yet to play a home region game. Had to start off the first three games of the region season on the road, and now they are back at home, and hopefully the Spartans can create some damage tonight and really throw a wrench into the 3A North standings. Also tonight on our sister station, KRPX 95.3, the Peak, the Carbon Dinos will play host to the Morgan Trojans, the number one team of the 3A classification. We're going to preview both of these games. You can also listen to them live wherever you're at. If you're at the game, or if you're at home, or you're away, CastleCountryRadio.com. Just click on the Listen Live link, and you can pick up either broadcast right there. And, of course, KRPX 95.3 The Peak, where the Dinos play and the Spartans play here on KOAL. Now, that's on the local sports front. Also today, I want to talk some local MMA. This is such a beautiful thing. Fierce Fighting Championship, which is really developing quite the reputation throughout the state. They will host yet another card, part of the Lightweight Grand Prix, on October 27th. And what's so great about this event is 100% of the profits will go to Carbon's Caring for Kids, which is an awesome local charity making sure that kids have food. I love this organization. I love Fierce Fighting Championship. Cody Bunderson is going to join us to talk a bit about that. I'm always blessed. I'm always honored to do the play-by-play for Fierce MMA as well when they hold these events. So we will talk about that on the show today. I also want to talk a lot of baseball. Already today, we've had one playoff game in the books. The Houston Astros blast through the Cleveland Indians in game one of the ALDS. No surprise here. Houston picks up a 7-2 win. And some of the highlights in this game, the long ball was in effect for Houston from the get-go. They broke a scoreless tie in the fourth inning with two runs. They added two more, I should say, in the fifth inning. Alex Bregman, he went yard the fourth. Corey Springer went yard the fifth. Altuve went yard the fifth off of Corey Kluber as well. This team is dangerous. They're the defending World Series champs for a reason. They get past Corey Kluber today, and I think they should be on cruise control for the remainder of this set. Houston 7-2 over the Indians. And right now, we have the Rockies and the Brewers playing, going toe-to-toe. Milwaukee up in this contest 1-0. And coming up at 5:30, the Yankees will take on the Red Sox. That's game one of the ALDS. And the Dodgers will look to create a 2-0 lead. They blast through the Braves last night 6-0. Clayton Kershaw is on the hill tonight for the Dodgers. They went with Ryu. A lot of people were a little skeptical of that. They go with Ryu. He was lights out last night. Dodgers get the win, and tonight Anibal Sanchez will take on Clayton Kershaw. So I want to talk some baseball, but I also want to go abstract on baseball. If you've been watching the playoffs, you have seen the advertisement. Major League Baseball basically taking a shot at the unwritten rules. And it has one of the classiest guys of all time in Ken Griffey Jr. I love Ken Griffey Jr. He's the narrator on this ad. And he's pretty much saying, let the kids play. Yasiel Puig wants to stick out his tongue. Let him do it. You got guys today that want to bat flip. Let him do it. Let him have fun. You know, Bryce Harper wants to walk around the base pads. Let him have fun. Let the kids have fun. Let the new era of baseball take over. I want to discuss that. And I think you can kind of tie that hand in hand with Mike Trout in the conversation that we recently had, as Rob Manfred said that Mike Trout has to be a little bit more personable. The marketing side of Major League Baseball. I'm looking forward to talking about that a little bit later on in the show today as well. Now, we are on the eve of a big UFC fight tomorrow night. It's Khabib and McGregor live from T-Mobile Arena. There's some bad news coming out of boxing, and you'll know exactly why it's bad as I tell you this. Canelo Alvarez, fresh off of his huge victory over Gennady Golovkin, was an excellent, excellent fight. One of the best hyped fights that I have seen in quite some time. September 15th, that's when this fight went down. Canelo gets the win. He unifies the middleweight division. To me, 24 rounds, and I have it just about even between these two. I rolled the first one a draw. I scored the second one a draw. Today, Canelo Alvarez says that he is going to move up to super middleweight to challenge Rocky Fielding for the secondary world title on December 15th in his first fight at Madison Square Garden. Now you say, why is that bad news? Because we're not getting Triple G and Canelo Part 3, and that's the fight we need. Alvarez and his team are planning for a possible fight with Golovkin. As long as Canelo came out healthy, Alvarez did suffer a cut over his left eye. He's okay to fight. So while Alvarez plans to fight again this year, it's unclear whether he's going to do so with HBO. They've had him under contract since 2015. They announced last week they're giving up the sport of boxing, so that's kind of up in the air. But no fight against Triple G, and I'm a little bit sad over that. And really, I want to see these two fight again. To me, it's Pacquiao Marquez. They could fight six times. I'm going to buy it all six times. I think that's some bad news for the sport of boxing. But Canelo moving up, he will fight Triple G again. We have to get Part 3. And if Triple G wins, we'll have to get Part 4. And guess what? I'm completely happy with that. Last night here on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM, the New England Patriots moved to 3-2. As they easily took care of the Indianapolis Colts. If we have some time, we will talk a little NFL football here on the show today. I'll tell you what was standing out to me in this game last night. Andrew Luck's good. His cast stinks. And Tom Brady and the Patriots, they are the team to beat in the AFC, regardless of what has happened over the first couple of weeks in the season. We've got a break for just a moment. Local sports recap coming your way. Plus, we'll talk to Cody Bunderson of Fierce MMA and... we're going to have a baseball conversation on marketing, more abstract. It's all coming up here on this Friday edition of Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's main event.
We did talk MMA earlier on in the week on the show. Got a big fight tomorrow night. Conor McGregor going toe-to-toe with Khabib. I'm looking forward to it at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Now, coming up on October 27th, we have an MMA event here in town, locally. Fierce Fighting Championship is returning. Four local fighters on the card. And I'll tell you, this is a very cool event because 100% of the profits from this event will go to Carbon Caring for Kids. Joining us right now to talk a bit about that, we have Cody Bunderson, who is the owner of Fierce Fighting Championship. Cody, always a pleasure to get you in. Thank you.
I love being here, Jordan. Thank you for having me.
Hey, this is a fun time because we're about 3 weeks out from a major event. Coming up, we have Fierce Fighting Championship's Fight for Hunger. This is something that I know has been in the works for a little while. It's a completely non-profit night of MMA fights.
Yes.
You're donating the entire gate, everything, to Carbon Caring for Kids.
Yes. Yep. This has been a long time in the making. You know, you and I had kicked this around, and it was actually, you know, you guys down here at the radio station that introduced me to Carbon Caring for Kids. I kind of pitched the idea to you guys and was, looking for a charity to donate the money to. And after talking with you guys, kicking it around, you know, we thought Carbon Caring for Kids was a perfect fit. You know, the Fight for Hunger was a great theme.
Yep.
And, I really fell in love with the organization and what they were doing. And I thought it was a perfect fit for what we're doing. And so we teamed up and we're going to put on this event and raise as much money as we can for Carbon Caring for Kids.
Now, I know that we have talked to members of Carbon Caring for Kids here multiple times on this radio station. But for those who are unaware, it's an organization that helps feed kids who maybe only get one meal a day, and that's when they're at school, and may not eat at all on the weekends. I mean, it really is kind of a gut-wrenching situation. And until it really affects you, until you realize that you talk or you associate with the kid that goes through that, you really don't think it exists, but it does. And it is a major problem here
for
in the
sure.
local area.
Yeah. I mean, you take, eating for granted, especially and then when you see actually how many kids within the county do on a daily basis, struggle with hunger, it really makes you put things in perspective. Like, you go out, we eat 2-3 meals a day, you don't think nothing about it. But then, when you have a kid who doesn't have a choice, when they don't have the means to provide for themselves and they're dependent upon an adult or parent or whoever it might be, to take care of them or the school or whoever it might be. And when they go home and they have no other choice but to suffer and wait till school the next day, there's that carbon caring of the kids is really stepping up and doing a phenomenal job for this county.
So again, every ticket that is purchased, that money is going to go to Carbon Caring for Kids. Important around this time of the year as well, because the holiday season is upon us. Now, with that being said, you have put together an outstanding card. The Grand Prix will continue. We're down to the semifinals. We have four fighters participating in that.
So for those who aren't familiar, we had the kickoff of our lightweight Grand Prix. We had eight fighters, tournament style. Moving on to the second round, we had Bobby King and Nate Kersley advance from the last round. Due to a pullout, two guys pulling out from the first round, we only had six fighters last time. What we did is we came up with a wild card. And the wild card was ended up being Dustin Jenkins, because he had the best performance of the night, even though we fell a little bit short on the scorecards. So we advanced him. And then we had to look at taking Michael Garcia, who had won his fight from last time, had to pull out due to a knee injury. So we found another guy, Thiago Alves, who is probably he's considered probably the top lightweight in the state. At the time of the tournament, he was unavailable to make the opening round of the tournament, but we ended up finding him for the second round of the tournament, high-level Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt. I think he has like an 11-5 record. He's, on the right on that bubble of, taking the next step up to, UFC, Bellator, PFL type fights. And so it's a pretty big opportunity for us to get him on the show. As you might see him, Nate Kersley, Bobby King, one of those guys, very shortly seeing them on the next big show.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Nate Kersley has put together quite the winning streak on the Fierce Fighting Championship cards.
Yes. All but, I believe, one of his fights. He's 5-0. Guy started out 0-2 and then rattled off 5-0. And, you can talk to every single, sports analyst, fight fan, whoever. He's gotten better every single fight. Every single fight, that guy's gotten better. So, and that's what, the bigger organizations are looking for is, what type of fighters is he fighting? What type of fighters is he beating? And, is he getting better with each fight? And he most certainly is. So he's a guy to be on the lookout for.
And obviously Bobby King, people are familiar with him as well. He's going to have a huge following. He's going to bring a fan club with him from Salt Lake.
Yeah, for sure. Even with his gym being up in Ogden, man, that guy travels. He brings, 100-plus fans with him.
Yeah.
So there's always a big crowd for Bobby King.
Now, as far as the local fighters on this event, there's four.
Yes.
Everyone knows Mason and Holden Sorensen. They're going to be back.
Yep. Mason and Holden, the Ginger Ninjas, as we like to call them. Johnny Redbow and Randy Del Fuego. they'll be back in the cage. Mason's now 2-0. Mason took another fight here a month or so ago. Came out victorious again with another second-round submission. He's got a tough fight on his hands. This other kid, Andrew Ariano, they call him Boomer. He fought out on our Twilla card.
Yep.
He's also 2-0 with two finishes. So this is, in my opinion, these are two probably of the top, if not the two top 125-pound flyweights in the state. These two could, if they had a couple more fights under their belt, this would easily be, fighting for a belt. Such is they're 2-0 right now. They're pass running across, sooner or later. But these are definitely two of the top amateur flyweights in the state. So it's a fun fight. It's a very fun fight for the fans. Tough fight for Mason, tough fight for Boomer. But it's in the end, it's going to make both guys better for sure. And I'm excited about this fight.
And Holden is fighting?
Yeah. Holden's he's fighting again. He's lost his first fight back in March. He's mm-hmm. going to be fighting a guy who's also 0-1. Out of Jeremy Horn's camp, and so also has a tough fight on his hands. We have Blanca. He's going to actually be going up. he's fought at 155 before. He captured his belt at 145 due to opponents not wanting to fight him at 145, and the fight we wanted to happen with the guy being suspended till November. We had to move Blanco back up to 155 just to get him a fight, and he'll be actually fighting for a belt against a guy named Romy Second, who has, I believe he's 5-5, tough kid, really good stand-up, but he'll be fighting for a belt. And then we have actually Nick Teeny, a local preacher, who's been training pretty hard here for the last few months with us, and wants to check something off on his bucket list. And but be ready though, he's training hard, he's putting in the work, and he'll be looking to get that W October 27th.
So you got two fights in the Grand Prix, you have four local fighters that will be spread apart of four other fights, and there's about 10 on the card right now, right?
Yeah. Originally we had about 12 fights, fighters getting injured and not right now. I believe we're sitting rather at about 11 fights right now. And, you know, come fight night, I'm sure there'll at least be 10 fights on the card.
Definitely looking forward to it. And tickets are on sale right now online.
Yes, right now online, fiercefightingchampionship.com. We got our GA and our VIP. We actually upgraded our VIP meals. So we picked up a local barbecue place that's going to be doing, you know, pulled pork, chicken sandwiches, little lollipop chicken skewers. With two, you know, with sides and a drink. So, you know, if people are getting tired of the old hamburger hot dog, that VIP meal ticket comes with a phenomenal meal now.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So we upgraded that for all the fight fans. So get your VIP tickets, GA tickets. I don't care what it is, but get your butts out there because it's all for a good cause.
Yeah, again, 100% of it will go to Carbon Caring for Kids. And, you know, we can sit and talk about the previous fight cards all we want. I mean, I think there is a little bit of a difference knowing that your money is going to help a youth, to help a kid here in the local area around the holidays.
Yeah, for sure. You know, especially this time of year, you know, it's getting cold. It's, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, all that coming up, you know. Even if, you know, it doesn't matter what time of year it is, but it's for a great cause. You know, I can't fathom, you know, going hungry on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So it's tough to think about, and especially, with the youth in the community. So, it's all about giving back to our community, especially for the kids.
Again, this is Fierce Fighting Championships Fight for Hunger. This is going to be going down on October 27th. The gates will open at 5 p.m. The event itself will begin at 6. Right now, 10 fights on the card. And Cody, I know over the next couple of weeks, we'll be talking heavily about this. Hopefully, we'll catch up with a couple of fighters as we typically
do
the week of the fight. Before I let you go, let's go away from the local scene. Got a big fight this weekend at T-Mobile. Who are you taking, Habib, or are you going with McGregor?
Man, I've bounced back and forth multiple times, but I think Connor's going to catch him.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that surprises me that you're rolling with Connor in this one.
At first, I was all Khabib, but if Khabib, obviously, you know, if Khabib gets him to the ground, it's going to be a bad night. But, you know, with Connor, his ability to catch people coming in he's accurate. He's precise, and he's got that one punch knockout power. I think sooner or later, Connor catches him with that left, and then, you know, whether it's a KO or TKO, he finishes him.
I know that we're not going to see Khabib run across the cage to start this fight.
Yeah.
He's going to be really strategic with it. If you pick Connor, you are picking Connor to win by knockout.
Yes.
There's no possible way he's going to win a decision. There's no way. If this goes five rounds.
If he goes five rounds, it's Khabib's fight. You know, it's him. Even if he's not getting him to the ground, it's him grinding him on the cage.
Right.
You know, short punches, knees like that, just grinding it, make it wearing Connor down that way. But, you know, Khabib doesn't have very good head movement. He kind of comes in wild to close the distance, and coming wild with your hands down, chin up. That's what Connor's looking for.
So, fight of the year for the UFC, right?
Oh, for sure. This is probably one of the biggest fights for him all time.
Yeah. Seriously, it's going to be a fantastic night. Again, that's Saturday at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Cody, I always appreciate you coming in. Again, I know we'll catch up and talk a little bit more about the fights in the coming weeks. Always a pleasure to have you in the studio.
Yeah, thanks, Jordan. Appreciate it.
We've got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. I want to talk Major League Baseball on this Friday edition of the show. That's the direction we're going to head next, right after this.
Hey, this is Nick Tropiano with the Anaheim Angels, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Here comes a comeback. The kid is back, back on track, and
We are back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. Friday afternoon show. We have a lot of local sports coming up. Do not forget tonight right here on KOAL, the Emory Spartans will take on the Union Cougars. It is homecoming for the high school football season. On our sister station, we get more high school football as well with the Carbon Dinos going up against the Morgan Trojans. We'll talk a little bit more local sports in just a bit. I wanted to save this specific segment for Major League Baseball, and I have to bring in a great friend of mine, great friend of the show, Steve Bordstein of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico to talk some Major League Baseball. Steve, it's always a pleasure to have you along. I appreciate the time today. Thank you.
Very much appreciated as well. Good to talk to you.
Well, it's great that Major League Baseball has reached the playoffs. It is the best time of the year. I know we're 11 days away from the start of the NBA season. We're right in the thick of things as far as the NFL and college football goes, and now we're down to essentially the top eight teams in Major League Baseball duking it out over the course of 5 and 7 game sets. It is the best time of the year to be involved in sports media.
No question about it, and that's if you're a Dodger fan like myself, if you're a fan of any of the Elite Eight right now, as you like to refer to it, it's 11 games. That's what it takes. It takes 11 wins to win the World Series. Everything that's happened has led up to this point, and like you said, best time of year for a lot of football and baseball fans.
It absolutely is, and as far as baseball goes, I'm going to start by talking a little bit more abstract. There is an ad going on. And if you watched any of the games last night, I know it aired a couple of times during the Dodger contest, the Dodger-Braves game, about embracing the new age of Major League Baseball and slamming the unwritten rules. And I find this ad so intriguing because, Steve, for as long as you and I have swapped appearances on each other's shows, you and I have definitely shared a couple of things in common. Outside of the whole Notre Dame-USC thing, we both root for the Dodgers, and we both believe that the unwritten rules of baseball are completely stupid. And now there's an ad out there bashing the history of baseball and the unwritten rules. I'm curious as to your opinion on this.
Well, I found it fascinating that that Major League Baseball embraced this, because normally Major League Baseball doesn't want to call attention to the things that make it almost unpopular or unfancy, for lack of a better term. You know, NFL likes to you know, promote from within. They like to promote their players. They like to promote their names. But they like their players and their names to be sanitary. They like their players and their names to be faces. Well, now Major League Baseball takes a different view here. Here you have Ronald Acuna, who's a bit of a hothead. Here you got Yasiel Puig, who's a bit of a hothead. And you got other players who like to be more individual talents. They like to be above the brand name a little bit, which is fun for me as a baseball fan, because I'm old. I'm 48 years old here, and I'm okay with the idea of the individual bat flip. I'm okay with the Jose Bautista moment. I'm okay with those things, and I've said this before, and you and I have talked about this. I'm okay with it so long as they understand that there are consequences for it. Sometimes a player's going to get thrown at. Sometimes a player is going to get attention in the negative sense. Baseball seems okay with that, and I think that's a good thing. I think that's a change from where we've been before with Major League Baseball, where, oh, we want our players to be sanitary. We want them to be very antiseptic. No. Let them be a little bit cerebral. Let them be a little bit outlandish. I don't mind it, and I think it's comforting to see that Major League Baseball, especially going through a bit of an identity crisis. Look, it's kind of an older person sport, people say, and people say I'm not interested in it because it's boring to watch. Well, how do you make it not boring to watch? Promote your personalities. It's one of the things that the NHL does not do. It's one of the things that a lot of so-called fringe sports don't do. I couldn't tell you the names or personalities of nearly every driver except for Kyle Busch Joey Logano. Those are the only two names I know of in NASCAR. Why? Because they're outlandish, outrageous personalities. That's it. Before that, it was Tony Stewart. I could give a damn about most of the other drivers because I don't know anything about them and they don't have any personalities. Sell your personalities. That's what MLB is doing.
Well, and I think that this whole, before I jump topics here, I will point out that Ken Griffey Jr. is the spokesman in the ad, and we're talking about one of the last of the good guys from the steroid era, right? This guy's image is so squeaky clean, and it was his entire career, and I love the fact that he's the narrator on this ad. They were very precise in choosing who they were going to have narrate this particular ad.
And he's the one, the squeaky clean guy, who's saying, let the kids play. And I love that aspect of it, because you can't say that it's a bad guy who's saying this. It'd be totally different if it was Barry Bonds, or if it was Sammy Sosa saying it, or Roger Clemens saying it. No, it's a good guy from the worst era, you could argue, in Major League Baseball history.
No, absolutely right. Now, along with this particular topic, and as you're talking about sell yourself, I see a direct correlation with this ad to the recent comments of Commissioner Rob Manfred when he was critical of the way Mike Trout presents himself to the public. I see a direct correlation between it. I don't believe that the timing is a mere coincidence here, Steve. I really don't.
No, and Mike Trout needs to be more promoted. Mike Trout needs to do, but that has to come from him. He has to be less apprehensive about dealing with the media. I think it's also ironic that the other big name that's coming up in free agency this offseason, Bryce Harper, is the guy who in 2016 went on this whole viral campaign about make baseball fun again. Okay, so you got Mike Trout, who's about to get who's already got one of the most gigantic contracts ever, Bryce Harper, who's going to get another gigantic contract from somebody, and these are the two guys who one needs to be more heavily promoted, and the other who wants more of that same type of promotion. So to your point about Mike Trout, yes, he does need to do a better job in promoting himself. Major League Baseball needs to do a better job and to follow that suit. Here's the example. Here's Bryce Harper. He wants to be more promoted, which is why he's begging to get out of Washington, D.C., where they do no promotion for their athletes.
Again, we're being joined right now by Steve Bordstein of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico, talking Major League Baseball. Steve, to your point that Mike Trout needs to be more active in presenting himself and getting his name out there and being more open to the media, I would have one critique to what Rob Manfred had to say. Yes, some of that does in fact fall on Mike Trout, but some of this falls on Rob Manfred, and I'll give you an example. We are in the postseason. We have a team of the Houston Astros who are the defending World Series champions, and they have several marketable players on this team, including Jose Altuve, who I believe is a guy that many of the regular Joes can relate to. If you see him standing next to Aaron Judge, it's incredible, the size and stature. But guess what? Altuve has an MVP. Altuve has a World Series championship ring, and Aaron Judge does not. However, you couldn't watch Altuve play today because most of America works. And the Astros, who are the defending World Series champions with an MVP at Altuve, played at noon. So while Rob Manfred wants to be critical of Mike Trout and the way he presents himself to the public, something's got to be done about showcasing the highest level of talent in the postseason at a reasonable time where the United States of America can watch.
And I would make the excuse if it was, say, a game with a team in a bad television market. But Houston's the fourth largest television market in America. It's not like they were playing this game in some wheat field in the middle of Iowa somewhere. No, it's Houston. They're one of the largest television markets in America. So to your point again, and the only reason they did this is because TBS has to have the Yankees and Red Sox representing two of the largest television markets in the world. They got to have them on prime time. It's something you and I talked about earlier about how the NBA, yeah, their postseason schedule, it drags on. You never miss a game, though. You always see these games, and I think that's something that Major League Baseball needs to address, because I would have had a little bit better situation if you'd have moved the Colorado-Milwaukee game to noon and had the Houston-Cleveland game on at 2:30 in the afternoon. I would have been able to be a little bit more acceptable with that, but you're right. I mean, Houston needs to be on in prime time. They're the defending champions, and you stuck them at noon today.
Look, I remember when I was in high school, the Dodgers and the Cardinals had an opening round series, and I begged my father to excuse me from school so I could watch the Dodger game. Now, fortunately, I have a great dad, and he said, absolutely. You don't need to go to school today. Stay home and watch the Dodgers. And I'm forever in debt, even though the Dodgers lost that game. I remember it like it was yesterday. I'm forever in debt that my father allowed me to stay home. But again, that's a problem with Major League Baseball. You want to present this young, new talent that you have. You want to present these exciting players. Put the games on at a time where people who work, people that actually have lives, can watch.
I'll never forgive Tom Needham for giving up that home run.
you know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you?
No, I was there, 1985, game six. I remember I ran home. I had my Walkman. I was in high school. I had my Walkman. I was listening during class. I wasn't paying attention to whatever class it was I was in. And I remember sprinting home just in time to watch Tom Niedenfuhr give up that home run.
Same. Similar situation. We know exactly what we're talking about here. Steve, with all this talk about what's right and what's wrong with Major League Baseball, more of the abstract conversations, the fact of the matter is we have had some entertaining baseball up to this stage. Last night, we had the Atlanta Braves in the postseason, and I want to touch on them for a moment. I think it's a terrible matchup for the Braves because the Dodgers hit right-handed pitching stellar, and the Braves will probably roll out 3 to 4 right-handed pitchers from this point on. It's a bad matchup for them, but isn't it interesting that we have a team that I say is 2 years ahead of the curve going up against the defending NL champions in the opening round of the playoffs? I mean, this year for baseball, it's been fantastic. I know Cub fans don't want to hear that, but we have the Rockies in the playoffs. And the Rockies have, again, in a smaller market, one of the top players in the National League, and Nolan Arenado, one of the best 1-2 punches between Story and Arenado. The Milwaukee Brewers are good. We get the Yankees and the Red Sox. We have the Astros and the Indians. I mean, we have some stellar baseball right now in the postseason.
We do, and you mentioned the Atlanta Braves, and first a shout-out to the Oakland A's, who continue to be that team every year. Oh, this is the one, this is the team, this is the team, and they've been knocked out of the playoffs like every year in the last 6 years, because every year they're always the team to beat. I like the Braves story, it's a fun story, but yes, they're a year or so away from being a major contender. They've got to shore up their pitching rotation. This idea of the out-getter, the guy who starts the game, but he's kind of a closer, he's kind of a reliever, that doesn't work. And I don't know how long it's going to take for other teams to figure that out, but that doesn't work. You need actual specific starting pitchers. And I know that the Braves and the Brewers are trying to rewrite history here a little bit, but that doesn't work. It's not going to work for Milwaukee, I don't think, in the long run. I don't think it's going to work for Atlanta in the long run. But the way it's done is the way the Dodgers are doing it and the way that sort of Houston does it. And I think the Houston story is fascinating. Dallas Keuchel's like the worst pitcher in that rotation, yet he's a 2-time Cy Young Award winner. Gerrit Cole's been fascinating all season long. It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal to see these games. It's phenomenal to see how this postseason is going to play out.
And meanwhile, the Chicago Cubs have a $100 million pitcher by a name that I will not mention on the show today. And, well, they're sitting at home.
Thank goodness. I mean, like I said, if the Dodgers end up winning this, we need to raise a glass to that pitcher who shall not be named, because if it had not been for his performance or lack thereof in Game 7 last year, we'd be going for back-to-back championships right now.
Steve, let's jump to the two night games tonight. Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers, Braves. We'll start with the Yankees and Red Sox. Who do you like in this series? Because obviously the Red Sox were the most dominating team front to back of 162-game season. And I'm not trying to be a negative Nancy here, but when I look at the Red Sox, I see some obvious holes. And I'm going to throw out the fact that this team was dominant throughout the entire year and actually won 108 games in the AL East. The fact that the Yankees won 100 games and they were 8 back in the division is fascinating in itself, but still, I'm not taking the Red Sox seriously. They may get the win over the Yankees in this series, but I don't view them as the front runners in the American League. Am I right or wrong, and who do you like in this series?
I like the Red Sox in the series, but I love tonight's matchup with J.A. Happ, because he's the pitcher that the Red Sox can't not lose to. And the reason I say that is because J.A. Happ, you're either going to get home runs off him or you're not getting anything. He doesn't walk anybody. And that's going to be a fascinating pitching matchup, because Chris Sale, I don't trust anyone on this pitching rotation for the Red Sox. I don't trust Price. I don't trust Sale. I know eventually one of those guys is going to blow up here. And you mentioned the 109 wins to 100 wins for the Yankees. How many of those wins do you give the Yankees, that 9-game difference? How much of that difference would have been made up by a healthy Aaron Judge in the middle of August and September?
Oh, absolutely. And again, when you talk about a matchup in the playoffs, it is important to note that the Yankees have 12 pitchers and 13 position players on their roster. They have 3 lefty relievers plus CC Sabathia, and the matchup possibilities are endless going forward in this series. I think it's the biggest chess match that we have in the opening round.
And isn't it interesting also that it's two very inexperienced managers whose decisions are going to be questioned by everybody? You've got Alex Cora, who comes from the player perspective, and you got Aaron Boone, who not only has the player perspective, but also sort of the analyst perspective. So he knows that every decision he makes is going to be microscopically analyzed to the nth degree, especially by Yankees fans out there. So I think it's going to be a compelling matchup to see which of these young managers is going to blink first in those situations. Whereas, you know, in the other series, you've got, you know, kind of a new manager in Houston, but certainly an old school manager. And if Cleveland advances, oh my goodness, how fascinating would that be, especially if it's Cleveland-Boston, because you know Terry Francona wants every bit of the Boston Red Sox.
No, there's no question. Lastly, Steve, before I let you go, tonight, the nightcap, we get the Dodgers and the Braves. Clayton Kershaw back on the mound for L.A. I know it's been a trying year for Clayton. It really has. Statistically, when you look at what Clayton Kershaw has accomplished, he's down almost in every statistical category except for quality starts. Quality starts, to me, is the most telling stat of a pitcher in the regular season because you have to go six innings and you can't give up any more than three runs. However, once you get to the postseason, you throw the quality start statistic out because nobody cares about it now. It's all about wins and losses. To your point earlier, you need 11 wins to win the World Series. So it's a telling stat in the regular season. It means nothing in the postseason. What Clayton Kershaw do we see tonight?
As trying a year as it's been for Clayton Kershaw, I would argue as Clayton Kershaw has been a trying year for us. I mean, I'm just going to throw that out there. But I think the Clayton Kershaw you see tonight is the guy who baffles young hitters who are going to be overwhelmed by him tonight. And I think that's no disrespect to what Clayton Kershaw has meant to this organization, but he's a spot starter now. He's that guy who you're going to put into a situation where he has a clear and distinct advantage. Why? Because Ryu threw so well last night. The Braves now find themselves behind the eight ball. If they lose tonight, they're done. I don't care that they go back to Atlanta for game three of this series. They're behind the eight ball. So what you do tonight is you put Kershaw in a situation where the Braves have to press. And they're going to press. And the Dodgers are going to be at home. They feel comfortable. They put up six runs last night. I expect them to put up that many runs again tonight. And if they do, again, you force the Braves into having to press. And it's almost the same reason why I'm almost hoping that it's either that it's Milwaukee that faces the Dodgers in the next round. Because, again, younger team, yes, they're a little bit more dynamic as far as their hitters are concerned, with Braun and Yelich, obviously. But you almost want those matchups where you put the Brewers and the Braves, I think, tonight, in that place of being behind the eight ball, where they have to produce in order to succeed. And that's where Kershaw has the advantage. He's got the cerebral and the mental ability to own a team that finds itself in a bad position tonight.
Yeah, you know, we talk about it being a trying year for Kershaw, and again, I think this points to his dominance, and I mentioned the quality starts. Steve, out of 26 starts, 20 of them were deemed quality for Kershaw. That's a bad year for Clayton Kershaw, too, because we look at the ERA of 2.7. Still pretty good. I know 30 teams would take that.
And still pretty good. And again, this is a Dodger team, and you and I have talked about this stat going into this postseason. This team has one pitcher, going into the postseason with 10 wins or more. I mean, you would look at this roster historically, like 20, 30 years from now. You'll look back at this roster and say, how on God's green earth did that team get into the postseason? Because they had the second most home runs in Major League Baseball, and because they managed to patchwork together a rotation that fought through injuries to Maeda, Ryu, Hill, Wood, and Kershaw throughout the course of this year, and they managed to patchwork together this thing. It's either the greatest managerial job by Dave Roberts ever, or it's going to be an epic fail, because if they lose tonight, then they're in trouble, because then you go back to Atlanta, the series tied, and they could find themselves very much in the position that I think Atlanta finds themselves in tonight.
Steve Bordstein, host of First Sports on Fox Sports 1340 in Farmington, New Mexico. Steve, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Weekday morning, 7 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time on Fox, AM 1340, 93.9 FM, and on the iHeartRadio app, which is downloadable to your smartphone or wireless device. I host First Sports, national regional program. We talk a lot of national sports on the program. Jordan's a very, very popular guest on our program. We talk a lot of college football on the show with him. You can hear that show online on our website at foxsports1340.com. And then on weekend mornings, I also host a nationally syndicated horse racing show called The Fast Track, We're a month away from the Breeders' Cup out of Churchill Downs in Louisville, Kentucky. A lot of big races coming up and ready, getting ready for the Breeders' Cup. You can listen to that show also online at 8 a.m. Mountain Time, and that's every Saturday and Sunday morning. You can also follow me on Twitter at Fox 1340 a.m.
Steve, always great to get you on the show. Enjoy the remainder of the evening. I know it's going to be an action-packed weekend for baseball, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Looking forward to it, my friend. Thank you.
We will break one last time and come back to put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports right here on KOAL 1073 FM and 750 AM.
Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. You listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
Back to put the final touches on this week of Drive Time Sports. It's been another fun one. One of those days where an hour is just not enough, but that's okay. We have plenty more coming up tonight. Of course, right here on KOAL, you're going to be able to listen to the Emory Spartans. They'll play host to the Union Cougars. Live coverage will begin at 6:30 p.m. with the Landon's Diesel Service pregame show. You're going to hear from Coach John Famallo. And then on our sister station, KRPX 95.3 The Peak, I'll be alongside Vinny Rondinelli. The Carbon Dinos at home tonight taking on the Morgan Trojans. So a couple of really interesting games coming your way tonight for high school football. We only have two more weeks left in the regular season, and then it's playoff time. First week of October already. Time is completely flying by. Tomorrow night, don't forget the Utah Utes will take on the Stanford Cardinal right here on KOAL as well. I love it. Football on Thursday with the NFL, football on Friday with the Emory Spartans, and then we get football on Saturday with the Utah Utes all right here on KOAL. And of course, you can listen to all the action live at castlecountryradio.com. Also on Saturdays, we have the new show, Drive Time Sports NFL, with Travis Anderson and Dave Hokanson. That's tomorrow at 4 p.m. And then on Sunday, we'll have the best of Drive Time Sports and some NASCAR coverage for you as well. Just a lot of sports right now, and I don't think anyone's complaining about that. For Travis Anderson, I'm Jordan Buscarini. I want to thank Cody Bunderson and also Steve Bordstein for taking out the time to join us today. Have a great weekend. Be safe. I am out.